as bad as they have been, nor as bad as they're going to be. So thank God for a beautiful day in the Lord. Let's turn to, in our red book, to hymn number 263, and we'll sing the first, second, and last, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Let's stand, and we will sing.
Shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, the weary land, the weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, shade by day defends my night, a shelter in the time of the storm. Shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, the weary land, the weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of the storm. Shelter in the time of the storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, the weary land, the weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in the weary land, a shelter in the time of the storm.
Well, it's good to see you in the house of the Lord today, and it's good to have some people back. We've had some people out the last week, and it's good to have them back today. All of you that had to be out, Lord bless you. And God help you and strengthen you and meet every need that you've got. Good to have Brother Buddy back and back in his place. And we appreciate that. Glad he's feeling better. He's not out of the woods. Keep praying for his health. And then Miss Teresa couldn't be here today, so we went all the way to Hollywood. And we got Sharon Osborne to come to pray for us today. So we appreciate Sharon coming. Ozzy let her go for a little while, and so. Mary Hart doeth good like a medicine. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Bill, you pray for us today.
Dear Father, we're thankful for the time to be in the house of God today. Dear Lord, thank you for your people. We're thankful that the people that are able to be here today. Thank you for Brother Buddy that's able to be back. And we're glad to see Sister Parsons today, too. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll strengthen her, dear Lord, that she'll enjoy the services, dear Lord. And pray that each and every woman, dear Lord, will have something from the service today that they can take back with them and help us to be a better Christian. Dear Father, we're thankful for what you did, dear Lord. Pray that every one of us, dear Lord, can leave today, dear Lord, saying that we're glad to be in the house of God. I pray that you'll bless the singing, dear Lord, bless the message today, dear Lord, and we want to give you the praise and honor and all the glory for all that you do.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pray for the choir.
Page number 29, choir. I'm on the winning side, number 29. Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope or door within, and my soul was burning down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and he showed me I was wrong. Now I'm on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. From the straight and narrow way, I was drifting every day, out among the waters deep and wide. But it all is over now, glory light is in my brow, and my soul is on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Oh, soul of man, will I abide? I am lifted in the fight for the cause of truth and life. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I will never have a fear, for my Lord is ever near, and in His abundant I confide. He's the keeper of my soul, since I gave Him full control, and He placed me on the winning side. Well, I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more, why am I am lifted in the fight for the cause of truth and life. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
Amen.
Number 38, choir. Number 38, While the Ages Roll. Some days lemon drop will falter no more, and a grander, sweeter song I'll sing. For I join the ransom choir on the heaven's bright shore, forever to praise the King. And while the ages roll, I keep on praising Him, and my voice will never tire for old. And my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me, and I'll sing it while the ages shall roll. When a million years have passed in that wonderful place, my song of praise will just have begun. For my joy will never end while I look on His face, and my song will never, never be done. And while the ages roll, praising Him, and my voice will never tire of roll. And my song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me, and I sing it while ages shall roll. And while the ages roll, I keep on praising Him, and my voice will never tire. Oh, and my song shall never be, praise the Lamb who died for me, and I'll sing it while ages shall roll. And when my songs from hell of ages shall roll. Thank you, Mark.
Amen. Boy, I'll tell you what. I'm not a charismatic or anything, but my soul has been touched today. I tell you, those songs tell the truth. I'm on the winning side. I don't feel like it all the time. A lot of times I feel like I've been beaten, battered by the world, and you felt that way too. But thank God, hallelujah, one day we're going somewhere where we're never going to grow old.
Amen.
And we're never going to be in a wheelchair.
Amen.
And we're never going to have diabetes.
Amen.
And we're not going to be blind.
Amen.
And we're not going to be infirm. Glory, I'm about ready to speak in tongues. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, I'll tell you what, thank the Lord. Amen. Glory.
Just don't fall out.
All right. Man, somebody better catch me if I do. All right. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Boy, howdy. Thank you, Lord. All right. Good job, Sharon. All right.
Thank you very much.
498. That's a good song. When we all get to heaven. One day we're going, thank God. First, second,
and
fellowship, come back on the land.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansion bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all sing Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory while we walk the pilgrim's pathway. Clouds will overspread the sky, but when traveling days are over, not a shadow.
Thank you.
will open. We shall tread the streets of gold when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. Let me sing and shout the victory.
Good.
Amen.
Greatly to be praised. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glad that you're doing well today, and want you to have to be sure and pray for Miss Teresa as she plays for us today and sings for us. And we missed she and Brother Buddy last Sunday tremendously. We turned Church of Christ last week and sang without music. And so I think it was Sunday afternoon. We had the service Sunday afternoon. Had several people weren't able to be here Sunday night, so we had a Sunday afternoon service. And when we got done, we sang Acapulco. I know the Bible verse we claimed was in the book of Ephesians, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. And so that's what we claim. So
that's
we're
right.
Glad to have our pianist back today. So you pray for us. She sings today.
I keep watching for the dawning of tomorrow, when we'll meet our blessed Savior in the sky. All the troubles of today will then be over, for God will wipe all the teardrops from our eyes. We're here today, we'll be gone tomorrow, and this life won't even be a memory. Eternity. Today we're getting ready for our final journey, and I'm making plans to live in my new clouds of glory, and at the sounding of the trumpet we'll be gone. We're here today, we'll be gone tomorrow, and this life won't even be a memory. We're here. Eternity, where we'll praise the Lord throughout eternity.
Amen. All right, thank you, sister. All right, will you turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke this morning? The Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, Luke 24. Preach for a few minutes about something that really just kind of, as I was reading my Bible this week, something kind of hit me between the running lights that I've seen hundreds of times, but it's like I never saw it before. And so that's what I want to try to deal with today. Get my power on here. All right. In the 24th of Luke, I want to read something that is found in all four Gospels in the book of Acts. Nothing else but what I'm going to read is found in four Gospels in the book of Acts. It's found in the latter part of each of the four Gospels, and then it is found in the first part of the book of Acts, and you probably know what I'm talking about. It's called the Great Commission. And in Luke's rendition of the Great Commission, Luke 24, verses 46, 47, 48, please. "And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." Let me read a little farther. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen." Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts for a few minutes and lay upon our hearts the things we need to hear and know today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Great Commission. "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That is the rendition of Mark. Each of the gospels in the book of Acts 1:8, talks about how that we are witnesses to all the world, beginning in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. And so those different renditions of the same message given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ are given in the Scriptures. But to whom did he give the commission? That's what I want to share with you. The thing that I guess has kind of hit me like a sledgehammer in studying and reviewing these things is yes, 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 it is to everybody. Now, you and I are responsible for getting out the Great Commission, no doubt about that. But who did he say it to originally? And it says very plainly in each one of these passages, verse 46, "And he said to them." Well, who's them? Them are the disciples. Now, I've had the privilege in my lifetime, 30 years ago when I was a young preacher, I had the privilege to listen to some of the greatest preachers that have ever lived on earth. Most of them are gone now. And sadly, a great amount of their ministries are gone. I've had the privilege to hear in my life the men like the great evangelist, Dr. John R. Rice, that founded the Sword of the Lord, which we have some copies down here if you want to get some. Dr. Rice preached to thousands upon thousands of people, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people got saved under his ministry, and he had the power of God on him. What a great man. And throngs of people came to hear the ministry of Dr. John R. Rice. I had the privilege of hearing him before he died. A man named Dr. Tom Malone built a church and a Bible college in Michigan, Pontiac, Michigan. The Emmanuel Baptist Church. Had the privilege many times of hearing that great man of God. Sat under the ministry of Dr. Bob Gray in Jacksonville, Florida. My wife and I did, and we met there in college and went to church together, and 4,000 people every Sunday came to church, about 2,000 in the bus ministry and about 2,000 drive-in. And we had the wonderful privilege for 3 years to sit under that ministry and to hear some of the greatest Bible preachers and Bible teachers of that day. Dr. Jack Hiles, I had the privilege of hearing him. Never got to go to Hammond, haven't been to this day, but I have been in churches where Dr. Hiles preached and heard his ministry and what God did in reaching thousands with what many people call the largest Sunday school in the world. I remember hearing Jerry Falwell back in the day before there were so many drastic changes up at Thomas Road, when it was a very straight church, and had the privilege of hearing him and going into that ministry and seeing that work years and years ago.
I remember having the opportunity to hear Dr. Harold Seitler and going to Tabernacle Baptist Church and seeing all the people there. And I think of all the people that have been impacted by the ministries of these churches and pastors that I've just mentioned to you. And the list goes on and goes on. But I said all that to say this. When the Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry, where did he begin his ministry? Turn with me, hold your place in Luke 24. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 10, excuse me, back up. Matthew chapter 10. Let me show you something. Matthew chapter 10. None of us can deny the impact of Christianity on the world. We support missionaries here. Churches that are of like faith support missionaries. And missionaries go into the uttermost parts of the world to win people to Jesus Christ. There are Bible preaching churches all over the United States of America, Canada, Mexico, and far countries. And they're doing a great work for the Lord. But where did it start? Chapter 10 of Matthew, verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. I saw this and it hit me like a sledgehammer, and I'm thinking, Christianity has permeated the world. And Christianity has done a tremendous job for centuries for reaching others with the gospel. And people are saved because of people either here or in foreign lands through gospel tracts, Bible preaching, gospel radio, internet, whatever. It's being used to reach people. But where did it start? Verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, the King of glory, the Creator of the universe, impacted a world for 3 years by investing himself into 12 men. Did you ever think about that? 12 men. And he gave unto them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of diseases and all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now here are the men that he chose. 12. 12 to impact a world. The names are Simon, who is called Peter. Now, we could spend weeks talking about Peter. My favorite way to describe Peter is open mouth, insert foot, ankle, calf muscle, kneecap, upper thigh, and hip. If anybody had the knack of saying the wrong thing at the right time, Peter did. It was Peter who was well known for denying the Lord. And with all that in mind, and God who is omniscient and knows all things, is it a comfort to you that God still chose him anyway? That makes me feel better. And many times as I mess up, I'm glad that God even got somebody maybe worse than me. And he was the first one on the list. Simon Peter. Andrew, his brother. Andrew was a soul winner, buddy. You don't believe that? Go read the first chapter of John when you get a chance. And you'll see where Andrew went and findeth his brother Simon. He's the one that brought Simon Peter along to begin with. But we don't hear as much about Andrew as we do Simon Peter. But that's all right. That's okay. It's all right. God keeps the records. It's all right. You may not get a list in the sword of the Lord right here. They might not put you down here and say, boy, look at the great work that Bill Huff did or Buddy Barber did or somebody did. If you're not there, it's okay. It's all right. You'll be all right because heaven keeps a record. If man keeps a record, he'll mess it up. There are too many people that embezzle money. Well, I mean, how can you expect a man to keep books right anyway? But I'll tell you what, God keeps the records and he keeps them right. James, the brother of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Some of these people, we don't even know a lot about them. I don't know that we'd find a book called Who's Who in Religion. I don't think we'd find a lot of these fellas' names in there. We'd just have to say, who? Verse 3, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew the publican, Now the Bible tells us his name was also Levi. But anyway, he is that famous publican that denied the Lord and yet got saved and followed the Lord Jesus. He was a publican, a tax collector. We know a little bit about him. We know Thomas. We know him as Doubting Thomas. We know some things about him, so we know a few things about him. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname is Thaddeus. I don't know much about Thaddeus in the Bible, do you? I don't know not much to read about Thaddeus. That's irrelevant, though. He was in the list. Simon the Canaanite. That same Simon the Canaanite, as far as we know, is the same one that we read about in other places in the Bible, and they call him Simon the Zealot. He was one that actually started wars, started riots, but he got saved. He came under the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And who can forget that last name? Judas Iscariot, and notice what Matthew says, who also betrayed the Lord. And he took, verse 12, these 12 Jesus sent forth. What about that? He took them. He invested. Listen to what I'm telling you. He invested himself into 12 men. Now, I said a few minutes ago, I listed some of the great preachers and pastors and evangelists of bygone days. And those men had awesome ministries impacting multitudes of people. And we think, well, if we don't have a church running 300 or 400 or 500 or 600 or 700 or 1,000 or 2,000, we must not be doing anything for God. But if I'm going to let Jesus be my example, he had 12 people and one of them was a devil. I think that's interesting because Jesus knew what Judas was going to do and let him in anyway. And then on top of that, I've always said that I've told Miss Irma this. I told her to her face. I'll tell her publicly that I think the world of Miss Irma, and I'd move heaven and earth for her. She's an awesome lady, fantastic, one of the best treasures I've ever had the opportunity to serve with in the pastoral ministry. But you know what? As competent as people like Miss Irma, isn't it interesting that Jesus gave, of all people, Judas the books? I mean, you know, I hear stories and nightmares of people who embezzle from churches, but Jesus took him and put him in the place of being a treasurer, knowing that he would yield himself to none other than Satan himself. Isn't that something? A lot of stuff I don't understand. This brain kind of gets addled because there's stuff in that book I don't understand, but I just have to accept it by faith. Here are 12 men, and I wouldn't. And those men are what? They're fishermen. They're publicans, tax collectors, some of the most hated people on earth. A zealot who was a rabble rouser and a rioter. Where are the rich people? I don't see any rich people listed here. I have no indication that the richest might have been Matthew, maybe. Maybe, because he could cheat. And he no doubt did cheat. That's why publicans were hated. He might have been the richest. I don't know. I preached last Sunday morning about that rich young ruler that came, and he walked away from Jesus because he had great possessions. As far as I know, these, and I don't see any politicians. I don't see anybody with a good name or a big name and somebody that's splattered in the headlines. I don't see anybody in that list like that. I just see a bunch of people. James and John, what were their nicknames? They were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder. I wonder if they used to go into the bars and get in fights. Because they lived a rough life. You remember Peter. And how Peter cursed the Lord. Well, you know, they tell me sailors can do a pretty good job of swearing. I got a feeling a lot of these fellas just rough as cobs. And if they were set on a structure, they'd probably be in the low level of society. And yet, isn't it interesting that that is whom Jesus chose? Wow. He didn't go up and choose the leading Republican. He got a publican. He didn't go out and get somebody in the high office of the day, of the Senate, or whatever the Sadducees and the different spiritual realms. He didn't go to them. He went to the plain people. And then after he sent them, he commanded them in verse 5, he said, go not in the way of the Gentiles or into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely have ye received, freely give. Preach. Preach. What do you mean preach? These fellas haven't been to seminary. These fellas didn't go to Bible college. These fellas didn't even get to a Bible institute. And God said, Jesus said, go preach. Wait a minute, how can you do that? How can you go out and preach when you haven't had the formal training? Because we expect everybody now in our churches to have formal training. I'm not against formal training. I believe that you need to go and get prepared. Someone has said that a call to preach is a call to prepare. But he's saying, you get out there, I'm going to throw you in the middle of the water, and we're going to take the philosophy that when you get in the middle of the water, then you learn to swim. That's when they got ready to swim. They got out in the water, so to speak, and they had to preach. And they didn't preach 3 points and a poem. You say, well, preacher, they didn't go to seminary. Oh, yes, they did. They went 3 years and sat at the feet of the greatest Bible teacher that's ever lived on this earth. And he took for 3 years 12 men, and he taught them, and he taught them, and he taught them, and he taught them, and he taught them. Now I read all kinds of things. I read miracles in the Bible. I read where the throngs of people came and overwhelmed the Lord Jesus. 5,000 people in one account, 4,000 in another account. And people came because there was a time in the Lord Jesus' ministry where there was a zenith, where people surrounded him and they wanted to hear him and they wanted to see him and they wanted to be part of the miracles. And that was when he reached his zenith of ministry. Everybody, but guess who was right in the middle of all of it? The 12. They were right in the middle of it. Who gave out the fish and the loaves when the 5,000 were fed? The 12. Who went and had to basically, when the throngs of people overwhelmed him in the marketplace, who had to be the buffer? Who had to be the entourage to keep people from literally crushing bodies? You know the power and impact that bodies have. 12. And who was it that seemed to be the most ignorant and most difficult people to teach? The 12. I've always said that if the 12 could learn, there's hope for all of us. Because they were some characters, boy. Who would pick a Simon Peter who lost his temper and took a sword and cut off the ear of a fellow named Malchus, knowing that he could have died just like that, but the Lord Jesus intervened and stopped. I believe that Peter was a fisherman. Peter probably knew hand-to-hand fist fights, but he didn't know how to handle a sword because the Bible says that he cut that ear off of Malchus. I don't think he was aiming for the ear personally. I think he wanted to take a head off, but he missed. And the Lord stopped it and then he cut that thing off. The Bible says the Lord picked it up and put it right back, right on there. No scars, no bloodshed, all of this right back. You know, that should have been enough to shut everybody up, but it didn't. But I think of Peter, but God used him. I think of Thomas, and every time you turned around, Thomas was the doubting Thomas. Thomas said one of the great statements that Thomas made that I really like. He said, let us go with him that we may die with him. I love that statement. Because it showed the negativity. It showed the pessimism. That Thomas was a pessimist. He never had anything good in the Bible to say as far as positivity was concerned. Everything was always negative. He was always the eternal pessimist. But you know, God picked him. God chose him. Again, a zealot. Somebody that went out and started political riots because he felt like he had a cause. And yet God used him. Matthew, Levi, the publican, hated among the Jews because of his corruption. But God took him, he got saved, and God used a publican. Wow. I'd have never picked those people. I'd have gone and found some smooth talkers. I'd have found some orators, people that could stand up and just preach with eloquent language. Somebody that could charm the stars out of the sky. That's who I'd have chose. But that's not who Jesus chose. Jesus chose people that nobody else wanted. Did you get that? And all through the Bible, what is the Lord Jesus doing? He is taking and he is impacting and placing himself and enveloping himself and soaking himself into 12 people. Turn with me for a moment to John chapter. Let me see if I got the right chapter. I'm going to go to 14. If that's not right, we'll change it. But let me just show you something. Chapter 14 is right. Chapter 14. No, I'm sorry. Chapter 13. Let's go to 13. Chapter 13 begins a very important thing in the life of the 12 disciples. When you get from chapter 13 through chapter 16, 13, 14, 15, 16, four chapters. That's the upper room. And there is a crash course going on in that upper room, four chapters recorded. And if you have a Bible that has the words of Jesus Christ in red, you're going to see those chapters almost completely red. Why? Because Jesus now knows that he's going to die. They don't understand that themselves. But he knows he's going to die. And he says words like, "Mine hour has not yet come." But then he does say at the end, he said, "My hour has come." He knows that when he steps out of that upper room, they're going to go to the garden. And when they go to the garden, he's going to pray. And as he's in the garden praying, then the disciples will fall asleep and Judas will slip away. During this experience, during this chapter time that we're talking about, he's going to slip away because he's got to go get. Because even Jesus says, "What thou doest, do quickly." And he said, "One of you is going to betray me." And everybody looks around. They said, "Is it me? Is it me? Is it me?" And that is so interesting because right back there is a picture of Da Vinci's version of the Lord's Supper. And you can point out easily the character portrayed in that painting by Da Vinci, who is Judas. But those men, after 3 years, couldn't figure that out. Judas must have been pretty clean. At least his outward appearance, he didn't deceive anybody. But then when it came time, the Bible says he got up and he left, and even after he left, they still didn't know it was him. He must have been a straight walker, buddy, but it was all a matter of the heart, because the Bible says during that time, during those chapters, that's when the devil entered inside of Judas Iscariot. Isn't that amazing that here you are and you're sitting at the feet of the Creator and God of the universe? Huh? Wouldn't that be a blessing to sit and just Jesus sit and teach you? And they didn't appreciate it. They didn't understand it. But they sat at the feet of Jesus for three and a half years. What a seminary course. What a seminary course. What an opportunity to sit at the feet of the God of the universe and to hear the great wisdom that Jesus had to put forth. When you look at those chapters, 13, 14, 15, and 16, there he spends all those chapters talking to 12 people and impacting. He said, "I'm leaving." When I leave, you've got to be turned loose. Now, isn't it interesting that when he died, the Bible says that when he died on the cross, every one of those but one forsook him. Judas went out and hanged himself. We know that. There were 11. 10 hid. One named John came to the cross. When Jesus came down off the cross after his resurrection, you remember that he said, "Go tell the disciples and especially Peter that I am risen." He said that in the last chapter of Mark. They looked upon him and they finally began to learn, and then he resurrected and he ascended into the presence of the Father. Now what do you do, boys? What do you do? There's 11 of you. What you going to do? You lost one. We won't even get into the 12th apostle. We know that they gambled basically and drew lots, and one named Matthias became the last one, but you never hear out of him. But some people believe, and I'm one of them, that the 12th apostle to replace Judas was Paul. I believe that, but that's another story. Nonetheless, there what happened in the lives of these very plain men? When you get into the book of Acts, here's what they say about them. This is marvelous. They look at those 12 men, and here's what they call them. They call them those that have turned this world upside down. Turn this world upside down. Fishermen, tax collectors, political zealots, just plain people. And they turn the world upside down. And if you don't believe it, look around. Look right here. Churches and missionaries and pastors and evangelists work today because Jesus impacted 12 people. Now let me ask you a question. Who are you impacting? Are you hearing me? Who are you impacting? Who are you investing your life in? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. We got more in this church than Jesus had in 3.5 years of ministry. You say, well, what about the 5,000? They didn't come and listen. They came to get food. He impacted 12 people. The God of, he could have done more. He could have had seminaries. He could have had satellite schools. But he didn't. He could have had thousands of people. But you know what? They didn't listen. They didn't understand. They didn't know. There were 12. And he took 3.5 years, and he took 12 men, and he taught them. And they changed the world, and they turned the world upside down. Who are you impacting? If every one of us here impacted one person, wow, what a chain reaction. You say, I don't know anybody I can impact. There is somebody. Somebody will listen to you. You got to find them. And you got to talk to them. And we talked a little bit about this in the Sunday school class today. You got to build a relationship. You mean with lost people? Yes, with lost people. Well, what if they curse in my presence? Then smile and go on. That's part of life. Well, what if I smell liquor on their breath? Well, as long as you ain't got none on yours. Say, well, what if I want to meet them someplace and they want to drink a beer or alcohol or something? What do I do? Do I fuss at them? No, you just say, I don't drink, thank you, and you drink your Diet Pepsi or whatever you have, and then you still just talk to them. You're not trying to have a party with them. You're not trying to get drunk with them. You're trying to just build a relationship with them and get them to say, and you're trying to get them to understand you don't believe they're the enemy. What the people think about you and me, they think we look down on them like they're the enemy and we're better than they are. That's what, see, right now, these last several years, and again, I made this statement before and I believe it, President Bush made the statement after 9/11, the world changed and it has. And you just, I remember the day, and I shared this with a Sunday school class today, that I remember the day where you could go and knock on doors and talk to people and they'd come right out and sit on the porch and talk to you. Perfect strangers. I remember the day when you could go into their homes and they'd let you come into their homes and they'd let you sit in there and you could take a Bible and they'd listen to what you had to say. They'd get you something to drink and a piece of pie. And now, they open that door and look at you and wonder who you are. And do you have a gun? And you know what? And they should. We're in a different day, buddy. Things have changed since 9/11. Is it wrong for me then to say to somebody that I hear them profane the name of Jesus Christ? Maybe I can say, can I tell you about him? Nothing wrong with that. Who are you impacting? Is there somebody right now on your heart that you'd like to impact? Somebody that you know, somebody that you work with, somebody that's your neighborhood, somebody that whatever, and it's like they need, and God has laid them upon your heart. Pray for them. Converse with them. Invite them to church. Well, I've invited them to church. They don't come. Who cares? Keep on. Don't stop. Don't stop. Impact them. Work on them. Jesus invested his life in just 12 people, and 12 people changed the world. And if every one of us decided that's what we need to do, Sister Parsons, God bless you. You're one of the finest women I've met in my life. You're a blessing, and you love Jesus. And God dropped you in the midst of a mission field. She's got so many people in that nursing home. Think about it. And I don't have to ask her. I know she shares the Lord with people down there. I know she does. She's an evangelist. Isn't that something? That's the way you have to look at that. Because, you know, I know she wants to be at her home and all like that. But God's put this precious lady in an opportunity of missions. And she's got the opportunity to impact people all around her. And I bet she does. I have no doubt she does. People all up and down Kmart. But you get an opportunity to impact. They probably don't understand the fact that you're doing that, but you are. And God will give an open door one day. I know that even Miss Irma and having to take Brother Junior to the doctor so much, and you know, we pray for Brother Junior, we pray for his health, but you know, she says things, and she'll say things like when they go, they'll always know Brother Junior. They'll bring out a wheelchair to get him, make sure he's okay, or different things. You know what? Those people know them. Opportunity for investment. See, the little things that we think are so small are powerful things, because somebody said, what in the world is Jesus doing with 12 men that are just bottom of the... But they changed the world. All we got a handful of people. We're not like the tabernacle up here. Well, who cares? Doesn't matter. The tabernacle's a tabernacle. Faith Baptist is Faith Baptist. Day Spring is Day Spring. Riverview is Riverview. It doesn't matter. We went up yesterday and had a good Bible school, helped with a one-day Bible school over at Riverview Baptist yesterday. I mean to tell you that obviously in their heyday, they had a church. That's a huge complex over there. Now they run about 50 people. That's tough. They can fit their Sunday morning crowd in the choir. That auditorium and choir is huge. That choir's got about, I don't know, I counted yesterday, I think 7-8 pews just in the choir. Say, well, the glory, well, that's, you know, how about now? 50 people can still impact somebody. Got to get our eyes off the numbers and off on people. Right now, maybe the Lord is laying somebody on your heart that He wants you to impact. Maybe you have been and you didn't realize it. Now you need to add some prayer. Let's not, we did this last Sunday morning, let's do this again today. We won't ask our sister to play yet. But let's go ahead and gather and find a place to pray. Let's pray and say, remember that old song, Lay Some Soul Upon My Heart? How does that go? Lay some soul upon my heart. What? That's what we need to do. Lay some soul upon my heart and let me love and love that soul through me. Let's find a place to pray. Let's pray today. Let's come pray. Let's pray for lost people. Let's pray to impact people. That's the Christian. We need Christianity with legs. It's just not enough to come to church. You've got to do more than that. Numbers are irrelevant. Just people need Jesus. That's what we need to pray. Pray for people. Let's take some time and pray. Then I'll close. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you for the privilege of prayer. We think of the term that we used to use. We don't hear it much anymore, called intercessory prayer. There are people upon our hearts today, Father, that you have laid upon our hearts. Father, we pray that you will help us, and I pray that you will guide us. And Lord, there are people today that need to be loved. We need to show them that we care about them, and if we show them that we care about them, we can then show them that Jesus cares also. And so I pray, God, that you'll help us. Lay some soul upon our hearts and love that soul through me. And I pray, God, that might be true. That might be our prayer and our desire that, Lord, you will lay upon our hearts right now somebody that we can invest our lives in, that we can impact, that we can, Lord, just inundate with concern, with love, with compassion, and that we might bring somebody. May we understand that the timing is the Lord, that we live in a Madison Avenue day where everything is done quickly and And Lord, your Holy Spirit does not always work quickly. He works thoroughly. But it does not necessarily work quickly, and we have to understand the time limit of the Lord. So I pray your blessings upon us. I pray that you'll help us and give us the strength that we need and go with us. Lord, bless every heart here today and help us all to be missionaries, evangelists. Help us, Lord, to reach somebody. And may we try to get them here in God's house. And may we love them. And may we try to let them see there's a difference in this thing called Christianity. And maybe some of the things they've seen and heard haven't been too flattering. But help us, Lord, to live Jesus in front of them. We thank you in Christ's name. All right, let's see if we can take care of a couple of things before we go. Well, let's get ready for the Lord's tithes and offering. Let me see. Brother Julius, would you go to the back and get Sister Parsons' wheelchair? Sister Parsons told me today, she's said it 2 or 3 times, she's asked prayer, she's not feeling well. For Sister Parsons to say something like that, you know she's not feeling well. So what we're going to do is after we receive the Lord's tithes and offerings, we're going to ask that she be brought forward, and we're going to anoint her with oil, and we're going to pray with her. So let's see if we can. Brother Bill, will you come and help Brother Will receive the offering while Brother Julius gets Sister Parsons taken care of, okay? So while all that's going on, if you have not had a chance to get your offering ready, then be sure and take this opportunity. If you haven't given in the Sunday school hour, then you can give at this particular time. Okay? All right, tonight, 5 o'clock, our service, beginning in Galatians chapter 4 tonight. So we'll be in there for our evening preaching service. What I'd like for us to do tonight is take a few minutes after the service and talk about Bible school. Okay? We need to get that going. And it's going to be on us before we know it. I've asked some of the ladies to be talking about some things that you think are some good ideas. And if you haven't had a chance to do that or whatever, we need to do that tonight and start getting our date settled and some of the things that we want to do for Bible school. So we'll take a few minutes tonight to talk about that after the service. So keep that in mind. If you have any ideas of anything that you'd like to see us do in Bible school, that'll be your time to talk it up, okay? So we'll take care of that tonight. All right. Brother Will, you pray for us. Brother Bill and Brother Buddy, if you'll come forward, we're going to anoint our sister with oil according to the scriptures. The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. He have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. All right? So we're going to follow the command of the scriptures. We're going to anoint our sister in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Brother Buddy, will you lead us in prayer? We'll kneel here and ask you to lead us in prayer for our sister's health. Amen. All right, sister, let's sing a chorus of Only Believe. Okay? Let's all stand. Only believe, only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, all things are possible, Lord, I believe. All right, have a good day. We'll see you this evening, 5 o'clock. God bless you.